You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk turned traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
There's definitely, they're called SWERFs. It's like turf, but sex work. They're so annoying. They're always, it's just kind of being like, you know, they're like, you should really respect yourself more, you stupid fucking slut, you know?
Yeah. I'm dyking out, you're dyking out. Let's dyke out together. See what it's all about.
Hi, and welcome to Dyking Out, a podcast that would like to impeach and remove men who write lesbian movies and cast shithole actors in them. I'm Carolyn Bergier.
I'm Melody Kamali, and today we're dyking out with writer, comedian, and sex worker Irene Merrow about sex work.
All right, you haulers, remember to take a few seconds to give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts if you haven't already. It is an official task on the gay agenda, so don't delay.
Also, any of our $20 a month and above patrons, we are doing our next virtual hangout Saturday, January 23rd at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So save that date because we're going to spill some tea.
Just a little.
Just a little bit.
Is it spilling tea if I'm just ranting about things I talk about in therapy?
Yeah, because okay, as someone who knows the subject matter, it's tea, girl.
Oh, yeah.
It's tea that the listeners have been waiting for and the iTunes reviews even. We'll get into it there.
And the Reddit threads.
Yes.
Well, highlight of my week so far has to be that I watched Pretend It's a City on Netflix.
Yeah. Did you binge it?
I know Netflix is the highlight of every week since last March, but this one was a real treat. Okay.
Oh, yeah. I watched, let's see, 4 episodes in a row last night and then woke up and walked straight to the couch and watched the remaining 4.
Yeah, I'm only 4 episodes in because Cecilia and I, we've been like so busy with work and trying to watch it together. And I feel bad watching it without her because it is just such a joy. So I'm waiting for her to watch the rest.
It is so good. I didn't know I needed it for a few reasons. Just obviously like getting more Fran content, awesome.
Right.
Getting amazing shots of the city back when it was right. Bustling, didn't know I needed that. It's gorgeous. It's funny. To be fair, I did have to immediately put something a little like lower brow on right after because it is very, you know, New York highbrow intellectual conversations. I did immediately put on Hulu's Fuck That's Delicious with rapper Action Bronson immediately after that just to get some balance, but...
Yeah, sounds like a palate cleanser. It is very much like if The New Yorker were to make a limited series.
Yes, it's very Fran Lebowitz. Very that.
For anybody who doesn't know who Fran Lebowitz is, and I didn't know who she was until maybe a couple of years after I moved to New York and a gay guy told me to watch Public Speaking with Fran Lebowitz.
Okay, good. I was going to ask if you'd seen that.
Right. So I was like, I don't know who Fran Lebowitz is. And because I'm not that highbrow, or at least I wasn't before I moved to New York and started reading The New Yorker regularly. And he said, you kind of remind me of her just in the way that a lot of things make you angry. And I'm like, all right, backhanded, comment. That's not even, I don't know. It was weird. Anyway, he was my work nemesis, but he was good for some things, like introducing me to Fran Lebowitz, who I love. Tell the listeners, if they don't know, who's Fran Lebowitz?
Fran Lebowitz is a daikon, first of all.
Yes.
Who not only talks with her hands, talks with her fingers, okay?
I like to call her the patron saint of angry lesbians.
Yes, so fucking angry. She's a humorist. She's a writer. She jokes a lot about how she doesn't put that much writing out because she doesn't even have a computer. And then she's never even had like a typewriter when people were getting into
typewriter.
Computers. Yeah. But she started off by, I think, doing movie reviews and eventually started, you know, writing essays and then became a well-paid career humorist writer. But we did get a really cool look into her life before her writing career. Like, I had no idea she was a taxi cab driver. I didn't know she cleaned houses, like just stuff I had no clue about.
A hustling New Yorker just trying to make it. And it was so great to hear those stories. And I can't wait to watch the rest of it. I love just everything about her, her wardrobe. I can't imagine being like a lesbian around her back then. Like, I would have been so intimidated.
Right. Also, she does not talk about, she mentions like the fact that New York was a densely queer place. Like she, I forget the term, but she says it's a city dense with angry homosexuals or something to that effect. And that's like the only time we really hear her talk about queerness, which was my only complaint. Otherwise, I could hear that woman say the word delicatessen for hours.
Right.
For hours. She has lived in New York since 1969, has never abbreviated that to deli. Delicatessen. Yeah. I go to my delicatessen. I get my roast beef sandwich and I cast my checks. I did not have a banking account until I got a big check because I would go to my delicatessen and have them cash it for me.
Right. Her wardrobe, iconic. I wonder when that started. She just wears this like oversized, ill-fitting suit that makes her look like such a badass bitch. Like,
it's so great. And she's just got this snarl.
Cufflinks.
Yeah. Snarl. Loafers with like the cuffed jeans. She does kind of roast herself a little bit when she talks about Brooks Brothers. She's like, they made clothes for wasps and for me. Yeah, I don't know. That was really cool. There was so much I didn't realize. You know, I didn't know she was good friends with Spike Lee. That, to me, was some of the best moments. We're seeing her and Spike Lee argue. And just, like, you could tell they're friends. And she even says, like, there's no one I argue with more than with my family than you.
I knew she was BFF with Toni Morrison, that they would talk on the phone once a week.
Yes, that was cool to see. Just how different they were, too. I had no idea she was good friends with Charles Mingus and, like, hung out with Duke Ellington. Blew my mind.
Of course, because she's the coolest person in New York, and no one will ever be cooler than Fran Lebowitz, I don't think. Well, okay, maybe there are some people, but in terms of white women, coolest, coolest white woman, hands down, in New York. One thing I realized while I was watching it is that she reminds me so much of Janine Garofalo, my number three crush, and they're so similar, like in terms of just the way that they talk about things and their sense of humor. They're very, very similar. They also both enthusiastic smokers and they both don't use technology. They both don't like technology. You know, Janine doesn't email. She doesn't go on the internet or anything. And I think that that's how you become an interesting person.
I loved to hear it. She does not have a cell phone. I have a landline and I have my address and that is sufficient.
I wish after the last episode of this podcast, I might go that way.
Yeah, I romanticize that a lot. And then just to see it full blown romanticized with the cinematography and her just like walking the streets and her just living her best life. Obviously, made me pine for that way of life. I'm simply too young for it.
It's kind of impossible to do that. That was my thing with Janine Garofalo. I'm like, yeah, I would love to not be on social media either. Unfortunately, I wasn't famous before.
I wasn't a movie star in the
90s. That was a thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't understand why anybody who was a movie star in the 90s, why they would be on social media. There's no reason for it. Oh, man. Some other things in terms of queer media. The trailer dropped for I Care a Lot with Rosamund Pike, which I just want to mention because it appears that she's playing just a psychotic sociopath lesbian. And
our favorite kind.
Right, right. This representation that we're getting, you know. The rallying cry has been more relatable representation for queer women. And they're like, here's a sociopath.
Yeah. The Wilds was like, you want an angry one? Here you go.
Right. And then, of course, because we haven't had enough of this in the past couple of years, another trailer dropped for a movie called The World to Come, which is basically Lesbian Brokeback Mountain, written by two men, starring Casey Affleck.
Yeah, I didn't click the trailer. When you posted about it in the Facebook group, I said, I can't, I'm going to sit this one out.
It's like, it was so disappointing because it's put out by Bleecker Street Films, which usually, yeah. I mean, they were behind Disobedience, but they put a lot of good indie dramas out there. And this was, it was just like really so male gazey in the trailer. And like Casey Affleck shows up, and you're like, why? Isn't he a sexual assault?
Yeah.
Me too person? Like, why would you do that? And then, of course, I see then it's written by two men. I'm like, well, now this all makes sense. But with all the movies coming out of two white women lesbians having, you know, forbidden love, you know, sans electricity, who's saying, yes, greenlight this?
I don't know, man.
Did all these movies get greenlit like around the same time and then they weren't aware what everybody else was doing? And then all of a sudden, it feels just like an abundance. And normally I would like an abundance of queer content, but this is a little much. It's too much winning.
Yeah, no, thank you. I'm sorry I didn't click on it. I'm sorry I didn't look into it.
You're the better person for it, Melody. Sometimes it's not necessary for both of us to suffer.
Good, good, good. Thank you.
To get the news out. I know you did your duty last week by being on a...
What did I do?
Donald dot the win.
Oh my god, I can't stop. I can't stop.
Melody, I'm worried that you're gonna be red pilled. I was editing the episode last week and I'm like, I don't know. I'm a little bit worried that Melody's spending too much time on the Donald.
I did notice you cut some of it out.
I don't want anybody getting
we're not trying
ideas.
To radicalize you. Okay, here's the thing. I am like incredibly fascinated with, you know, conspiracy theories. I feel like they live in this space that like cult documentaries and, you know, that kind of true crime area I like lives.
Well, and because MAG is a cult.
And it is
so
a cult.
So I can see how this is fascinating
so
for you.
I hate to admit it. I've been back to that online forum three times since we recorded last week. It's
what are they planning?
Let's say they're armed and ready and some of them are like I saw some thread about how like, oh, they can try to shut down Airbnb. We're staying at my cousin's. Like, people are still, like, making their way down there and planning things. And, like, just so crazily out in the open. Guys, if you want to read it for
Melody,
yourselves.
Melody, don't tell them where to find it. Because speaking of representation we don't need, Ashley Babbitt, the woman who was shot at the Capitol, was in a thruple.
Wait, the one who died?
What? Yes.
With whom was she in a thruple with?
Her and her husband had a live-in girlfriend. They did like a profile about her life because of course they did. And then one of the people they talked to was her live-in girlfriend.
That's what you posted about in the Facebook group.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize
that
was
two things you didn't click on that I posted in the group.
Guys, I've been so depressed. Why? Because
no,
I've been on the Donald forum.
True. Well, now I know how to get your attention.
Oh my god. Yeah, I had no idea that was about her. Crazy. I don't know. I'm fully addicted to the Instagram account Homegrown Terrorists. Whoever is running that account is doing the Lord's work. Have you not seen it? They're like over 150 something K followers at this point. Just like overnight after the attempted coup, they whoever this is I seems to be a DC local. I don't know. Someone is just collecting information about everyone who was there, especially those who actually made it into the Capitol, and just exposing their social media. And so they'll update when they're identified, and then they'll update again when they've in fact been arrested. And it is beautiful, like pure schadenfreude. It is the best Instagram follow. And I was like, who is this person? I sent them money. They are an American hero. And someone...
Your money already goes to the FBI, who should be figuring this out, Melody.
I know. Yes, my money goes to the toilets that the Secret Service had to pay for to go shit outside of Ivanka's house because they wouldn't let them in to use one of their, 50 bathrooms. Did you see this? That
Of course, I saw it.
Over $100,000 of our tax paying... whatever. Whoever is running this account is an ally. I don't know if they're queer. I don't know if they're women non-binary, but I do know that they are a Housewives fan because they exposed recently a woman who was from Orange County and, someone wrote, wow, just shows you that money can't buy you class, because this woman's rich, clearly. She stormed
the
Capitol in
the
Louis Vuitton. Yes, that woman.
Okay.
Someone commented.
I did go to her Instagram account.
Oh, me too.
Yeah, very plastic surgery.
Wild looking. I can only describe her face as wild. Someone wrote, just goes to show, money can't buy you class. And then Homegrown Terrorist replied, elegance is learned, my friend, which is a song put out by Countess Luann de Lesseps, one of the Real Housewives of New York cast members. So truly go support this person. They're amazing. Something for everyone.
Love it. All this crazy news going on, and it was nice just to read one piece of news that I feel like is a win for Tracy Chapman, which is a win for lesbians everywhere, that Tracy Chapman, for anybody who cares, won her lawsuit against Nicki Minaj. I have nothing against Nicki Minaj, but if you're gonna sample people, you gotta pay up.
Yeah.
Right? Isn't that how it works? I don't know, people sample people all the time, but Tracy Chapman, it's not like she's been making a lot of... She's living off royalties of her music from the past. So pay her. This is how she makes her money. Don't fuck over a daikon like Tracy Chapman. So she got $450,000, and I'm very happy for her.
Yeah, Nicki can afford it.
I hope she buys some sturdy boots or something. I don't know.
Yeah, you can't sample Tracy without paying up. You can sample... I feel like it's like... case by case. I don't know.
Right.
Definitely. Yes. As you could tell by my stuttering, I'm a barb and I don't know how to talk about it. I'm a barb. I'm fully a barb. I love Nicki Minaj so much. I think she consistently gets in her own way and shoots herself in the foot with just every attack on a new female rapper or just her frustration. But, you know, it's hard being queen.
Yeah, I like Nicki Minaj a lot.
I love Nicki Minaj.
Ever since her verse in the song Monster, was a fan, love it. And, I wish her the best, but if you're going to have me pick between Nicki Minaj and Tracy Chapman.
I don't want to, and I will not. Moving on.
Fair.
Carolyn.
Yeah.
Enough. Leave barbs alone. What is the gayest thing you did this week?
It's gonna be short and sweet. Saw a beaver.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Count it.
Yep.
One.
There's a beaver in the lake by my house, and we're gonna be best friends.
I
it's great.
That
it's
for
a gay
you.
Beaver.
I recently on my TikTok for You page found someone who seems to have many beavers as pets. I forget the name of this user, but they're so cute.
They are very cute. They don't strike me as something you'd have as a pet.
No, it looks so gross. They're wet. What are their tails called? Is just dragging all over their house, and it doesn't look
good. Oh, it's like an indoor pet?
Yeah, that's just walking around their house.
That's weird.
I know.
Yeah. What's the gayest thing you did?
Well, gayest thing I did this week, after watching pretend it's a city. I was awestruck by the cinematography. I looked into it. It turns out it was done by a woman named Ellen Kuras. I don't know how to say her last name. Hopefully that's it. And when you just Google her name, her Wikipedia comes up, and this person looks like a bona fide dyke, all right? Just looks so gay. I don't know if she is, but the gayest thing I did do was spend at least an hour trying to figure out if she was. And that's that.
Well, if she's New York-based, we've had some filmmaker past guests before. We just have to ask around.
Yeah, New Jersey-based, but we'll get to the bottom of it.
Yeah, I'm sure one of them has had an ex who has slept with her, if that is,
yeah,
in fact, the case.
Activate the chart. Let's go. Also, other than that, gayest thing of the week, I have been getting into Reddit. I know I sound 50 years old. It is a website that has been, I don't know, just... I finally demystified it. It's something about it was intimidating. I don't know.
End up there sometimes when I Google questions, but I've never really explored, perused. Yeah.
Found so many great threads, like specifically like lesbian forums. There was one that was super helpful that was like porn for actual lesbians. Very helpful. And then I was on a thread called Actual Lesbians. And wouldn't you know it, I stumbled across a thread about some dyking out drama. And y'all know what I'm talking about. But it was just so crazy to come across in the wild. And just like see my name. Ugh.
Right. A year ago, I did see that there were some people posting about dyking out on Reddit. And I'm like, I don't want to look more because I'm afraid. So I'm just going to leave right now before I see something that makes me.
I did X out right after that. But more on that at the Patreon hang, I guess.
All right. Well, let's get into this episode. Today we are dyking out with comedian, content creator, and sex worker Irene Marrow, who writes for Betches and has been featured on Vice. Irene, it's so good to dyke out with you today.
Oh my God, I cannot wait to dyke out with you guys. I'm so excited to be here.
We have to ask before we get started.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us the gayest thing you've done this week? And you can tell us the most bisexual thing you've done this week too, because you identify as a bisexual, correct?
I do, yeah.
Okay.
So I'll start with bisexual. I got like, was like on the precipice of a blackout, you know, when you're like teetering around the edge kind of deal.
Yeah.
And I like sat my boyfriend down and made him watch like acoustic live recordings of Dua Lipa with me. I was like, isn't she amazing? She's hot, babe. Tell me she's hot. She's hot. And like that went on for like hours.
She's so hot and a bicon, actually. Her SNL sets were so good that like reignited my obsession with her. And I've been listening to so much of her lately. How old is she?
I have no idea. She's like ageless, I feel like.
Because I know she's dating Anwar Hadid, which is Yolanda Hadid's youngest kid, like the Hadid kids.
Yeah. How many Hadids are there?
Three.
Okay.
Bella, Gigi, Anwar.
Irene, you know, it's the pandemic, so I haven't really seen you on the comedy scene because there is no comedy scene. But before that, never really crossed paths with you that much. Like I've known of you for a while. I know you're very funny. I've seen your comedy. But tell our listeners a little bit about yourself.
Oh, man, my favorite.
Take us there.
Yeah, I mean, thank you for my intro. It was lovely. I am those three things, and also right now, kind of none of those three things. but back when being, you know, a public person was allowed, I'm a stripper and a comedian and a writer, and in my comedy, I tried to kind of bring those things together. A lot of my comedy is about, you know, stripping and sex work and trying to make, I mean, people have, you know, dead hooker jokes and all that bad shit. So trying to create jokes that turn it around and make it so sex workers are not the butt of the joke.
I love that.
Me too.
How did that make you feel when you were starting out and just hearing all of the jokes that guys make that disparage sex work?
Oh my God, amazing.
Yeah. It's a real rush.
I was actually a comedian before I was a sex worker. I got interested in like sex worker rights, like politics and the movement before I became a sex worker myself. I didn't actually think like, I was like, oh, I can't do that. Like I'm not, you know, hot enough or good enough or, you know, confident enough. And then, cause you know, you guys are comedians, you're always doing like day jobs and freelance gigs. And I was tired of being a nanny and taking care of other people's children. I don't want children of my own. So I was like, why am I spending my days literally being a paid mom? And I didn't want to get back in the service industry. I was tired of like stringing together freelance writing gigs and like barely getting by. So I went in and auditioned at a strip club and they were like, sure, do you want to work tonight? And I was like, what?
Oh, seriously?
We had an episode on stripping with Amber Rallo, and it was Jack the Stripper, who's also a past guest. A lot of queer strippers / comedians in the community. And I say a lot because right now you're the third one I know. So I'm like, oh, that's three. That's more.
Yeah, there's Beck O'Neill. There's Anya. Yeah,
Beck O'Neill, that's right.
So funny because a lot of strippers that I know and work with are like, a lot of them are bisexual, pansexual, but so many, even I feel like sometimes the most like successful ones are just like fully gay, like lesbians. And it's so amazing to watch because the whole thing is, you know, making these men believe that you're into them.
Right.
And it's so funny to watch them like be so good at that when they're like have absolutely no interest in men in general.
Yeah.
Let alone like these slobs, you know?
Yeah. But I wonder if men can kind of pick up on that. And that's a thing that men find really attractive is knowing that like deep down you want nothing to do with them.
Absolutely. Especially these men are such like, I worked at a lot of like Manhattan, like quote unquote gentlemen's clubs. So they are very like, weirdly, I feel like kind of like sadistic and like they really, I think, do like hate themselves. And like, so that would make sense to me.
Was the audition in New York?
I mean, at this point, I've auditioned at a few clubs, but the first one, I say audition, I was like ready. I was like so nervous. I was like, I'm going to have to, usually an audition is like you have to get on stage for like 30 seconds to a minute and like take your clothes off. Like in the club. So like, you know, the club is open, but this one, it literally, I felt like I was in like a movie. Like it was this like disgusting, unattractive guy. He was literally like eating a cookie and the crumbs were like falling onto his belly and he was like licking them off. I went to the wrong address because the wrong address is on Google Maps. So I was late. And then he like, when I got there, he was like, are you fucking stupid? Like, do you know how to read? And like completely like degraded my intellect and then was like, well, you're hot. Get up and turn around. So I did a spin for him. I was also soaking wet because it was raining out and I had like, I was lost. So I was like running around Midtown. So I was like a drowning rat in like heels. But anyway, I turned around and he was like, yeah, you're hot. Do you want to work tonight? And that was it. I worked that night.
Damn. That's really interesting. I can't tell you how many job interviews I've been late for and run in a panic and just like sweaty and anxious, but I can't imagine having to like perform after that.
Yeah, I feel with stripping, it is funny how quickly they throw you in and you do have to just like, you're like, okay, I guess I'm doing this. Like, I guess I'm a stripper. Like, I guess I have to go figure out how to, like, guess I'm giving a lap dance.
Yeah. You're like, I guess it's to this song. Do they like put on a song or
there's music playing at the club and you charge per song. You're in charge of keeping track. So like most clubs it's $20 a song. That's like pretty much the go rate. It varies a bit, but that's also been the go rate for like forever. It's never gone up, which is bullshit.
Right.
A lot of guys will accuse you of like lying about how many songs there are. They're
that
like,
sounds just like stand up.
It is, but
the
you get paid.
The pay hasn't changed. Guys accuse you of lying, and it's, like, toxic.
I would say stand-up is way more humiliating and...
yeah, honestly.
Yeah, and doesn't pay close to as well. When I heard what Amber made in a night, I was like, wait, why'd you stop? Like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, yeah. You know, you have your bad nights and you have your good nights. And when you have a good night, it's the best to like that. I remember the first night at that point I was like, oh my God, I'd made this amount of money. Like I had never made that amount of money in that short amount of time. Like I eventually learned how to make way more than that. But like the feeling, I had never felt that, like, especially as a woman, like that kind of financial, like, pride and like independence, like walking out of the club knowing I had this like wad of cash with me and that like I didn't have to worry about money for the next like couple weeks or whatever. It was very liberating.
Huh. This is me considering. I think about it all the time. I think about OnlyFans all the time.
Yeah.
Melody, have you ever been to a strip club?
I've been to one once in Portland. Okay. Because it was like, that's the thing there. And I was have to go. Yeah, other than that, no. Have you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A bunch.
Oh, yeah. You lived in Atlanta. Were they in Atlanta?
Oh, the hub.
Well, funny enough, I didn't go to the ones in Atlanta. I used to go to ones in Canada, like Montreal.
Interesting.
And Clifton Hill. Yeah.
What's the vibe at Canadian strip clubs?
In Montreal, touching's allowed.
Like all touching?
Waist up.
Got it. Some clubs have really weird... I worked at a club that, yeah, you were allowed to touch waist up. Like, you were allowed to touch boobs, but you weren't allowed to touch butt. And I was like, interesting line to draw.
I don't know if you could have touched butt, but I remember there was a bachelor party that my friends and I, we just were hanging out with. And the guy getting married took, like, me and my roommate at the time up for, I guess, a lap dance. So this woman was giving the three of us a lap dance, but I was, like, very uncomfortable the whole time. I was like, I don't know that this is weird because I'm gay and I actually like women. Like, if it was a guy, it'd be, like, very funny for me. But, and then, like, having a guy next to me ruined the mood. But then the guy kept being like, touch her tits, touch her tits. I'm like, I'm not touching her tits. Like, that's the last thing I want to do right now. And she's like, it's okay. I'm like, no offense. And, like, it was just, like, a lot of apologizing. I don't know. It was the least sexist. I ruined that lap dance. And that guy... You know, he was paying and it was $10 like per person per song.
So then it was, like, I see. A lot of money. Yeah. Yeah. I charge per person too as well.
Yeah.
It's like more. I do. Whenever there's like a woman, it often feels like they're being forced into the lap dance situation. So yeah. They're like a hostage. I'm like trying to, I always try to like feel out like if they want me to actually like give them a lap dance or if they want me to like be like, ooh, like a little shimmy or something. One time a couple got into a fight while I was giving them a lap dance, but like didn't ask me to stop.
Yeah, walk us through that. Because you feel tension arising.
He was trying to like, I think be like, you know, like he was like, no, dance for her. And she was like, stop, don't do that. Like, I don't care. Like, you can dance on him. And I was like, and then like was just kind of dancing sexually in front of him. And he was like, dance on my girlfriend. And she was like, I'm not your fucking girlfriend. And I was like, oh boy. So then I was just like kind of hovering above them, just like tits out. It was just, and then eventually they were like, we're leaving. And I was like, oh, thank God.
So uncomfortable.
Hope they're doing
when
well.
I imagine, like the women who would love getting a lap dance. I picture just like 45 and over straight women who live in the suburbs who are like in a book club and like just downed a bottle of Chardonnay. Mm-hmm. And then they are like having the time of their life getting a lap dance.
Yep, that's absolutely a thing.
Okay, great.
Spot on with the spot on down to the Chardonnay. You're like, somehow they've ordered Chardonnay at a Manhattan strip club. Didn't even know we had that behind the bar, but they found it. And and like, yeah, just like they'll get so into, then they like want to give you a lap dance. They're like,
oh, they're dancing.
Oh yeah.
I've seen people try to get on stage, take off their tops. Like,
yeah, that's a thing too, that yeah. Drunk women like to, they love attention. Mm-hmm. Some drunk women. And then they don't like that. They're not the ones getting attention at a strip club. It's too
I'm
much
telling
for
you
them
it's
to handle.
Just like stand up comedy. It seems.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. They're the hecklers.
The drunk girl heckler who says she's not getting attention.
Literally
ruins everything.
I didn't think of it that way, but stripping has hecklers,
and it usually is the women, or they're like, they're woo girls, so they come in for like a bachelorette party and they're like, wow, And then they take like one crinkly dollar bill and put it in your panties. And like, they're like, here you go, girl. You're so hot. And I'm like, what do you want me to do with this? Like wipe my ass with it? Like this is nothing.
We went to a drag show with my girlfriend and her 73-year-old Southern dad.
Sure.
Was like so drunk that he really thought he was in a strip club, and he just like, he's like, no, I know what I'm doing. Okay. I know what I'm doing. Like,
oh my God.
Like, you know, just like touching them and just, I don't know what they can do in North Carolina, but it was just like, he really thought we were in a strip club and these were strippers. Like he was like patiently waiting for his lap dance.
That is so funny. Did anyone ever tell him or?
No, but we do have, I want to say 100 pictures with every drag queen. He's fully touching them. We're happy. That's they're good sports about it. They called him daddy and he gave them a lot of money to make up for it. All the touching.
Perfect.
But like strip clubs are closed right now.
Yes.
What's like the post-COVID community looking like right now?
It's rough. Sex workers have definitely been dealt a hard hand with this pandemic. I'm a very privileged, you know, white, cis, able-bodied sex worker, so I'm lucky to be getting by right now. I know a lot of sex workers weren't eligible for, you know, stimulus relief. Obviously, strip clubs are shut down. In-person work is, even if you're doing it, it's obviously dangerous because you're exposing yourself.
Right.
A lot of people have flocked to OnlyFans, myself included. I think there's like this, you know, you see, you know, people are like Bella Thorne, kill me, but like making all that money in one day, and you see all these like big success stories, but like it's actually really hard to make money on OnlyFans, and now it's like oversaturated and there's a lot of competition, and also like translating your in-person sex work to online sex work is like not a seamless transition. It's a totally different ballgame. So yeah, it's a struggle.
So Bella Thorne going on OnlyFans, I did read a little bit about this and a lot of people were upset with it. Is it the equivalent of how the two stars of the L Word decided to start a lesbian podcast in quarantine?
And
immediately got like thousands of reviews and I'm sure lots of sponsorship money. And I'm like, come on.
It's, you know, under the same bubble of celebrities being the worst people on earth. thinking they're like, here's an opportunity to make this about me. Perfect. Just great. What everyone wanted and needed and asked for. Especially because Bella tried to, I thought she was Bella Hadid fully the whole time. And then I figured, then I found out she's a separate person. But anyway, she was like, oh, I'm doing this to like normalize and like make a movie about, you know, online sex work, which no one needs Bella Hadid.
No, wait, Thorne.
to be the perspective of that film. And also like celebrities joining OnlyFans, it's already been proven to happen. Sex workers knew it would happen. Is that it's not like normalizing it. It's almost like gentrifying it and turning it into something that it's not and pivoting it away from sex work into, because the celebrities don't like do nudity. They do like,
yeah,
you know, lingerie or like behind the scenes stuff. So it's like making it not a place for sex workers anymore.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Hey there. Ever wonder what happens to all those amazing screenplays that never make it to the big screen? Well, wonder no more. Welcome to Table Read Podcast, where we bring those undiscovered gems to life. Picture this, talented actors giving incredible performances with the occasional laugh or blooper thrown in, produced by award-winning pros. From drama to comedy, TV pilots to feature films, there's something for everyone. And guess what? We release new episodes every week, so don't forget to hit that subscribe button. Table Read Podcast, where great stories finally get their chance to shine.
Can you talk a little bit more about OnlyFans? Because I've never been on the platform. I've heard of it. It's during the pandemic, it's become a punchline or on Twitter. A lot of people are like, check out my OnlyFans as a joke. And how did it start out? What was it like? When did you get onto the platform?
I don't know exactly like when it itself started. I know sex workers were pretty quick and like cosplay people were pretty quick to flock to it and turn it into what it is today, which is like adult. You can sell your adult content on there. Yeah, because I don't even think OnlyFans like advertises itself as like a pornographic site. I think that's what people understand it to be.
Yeah.
But a lot of sex workers and cosplay people, you create your profile, you have a subscription fee. So it's like mine's like $15.99 a month to have access to all my videos and to photos of like my holes and bits. And my camera roll is a fucking nightmare now. Like,
yeah,
it's so scary sending anyone
strong iCloud password.
It is so scary sending anyone anything. Like, I'm like, Mom, look at this. Oh no, oh no, oh no. Like, don't hit the wrong thing. Anyway, and then you can like sell like pay to view or pay to open messages. So if you have like a masturbation video or like a boy, girl, 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 whatever, like sex video, they can pay extra to open that, and they can tip, or you can be like, you know, tip if you want to see like the more explicit photos, stuff like that.
Is there any concern about them taking screenshots and things like that and like leaking?
Yes, absolutely.
It sucks. There's, I've seen on Reddit, like whole forums dedicated to just like screenshotting and posting everyone's content for free.
Yeah.
And it sucks.
Cause they put like a dainty little watermark at the bottom that's like OnlyFans, like to show that, but you could easily just crop it out.
Yeah.
I know people who like are like really successful on OnlyFans. I think it's pretty like standard that your stuff is gonna, yeah, show up on Reddit for all the incels to absorb. But people I know who like are big on OnlyFans have lawyers who literally just go through Reddit and like scrub their stuff from stuff.
Oh,
like
wow.
I've never seen my stuff anywhere. I wouldn't be surprised if it is somewhere. I always tell them that if they do that, I will like get my lawyer on their ass. I don't have a lawyer. But yeah, that's when I started doing this when the pandemic started, and that's a big reason why I didn't want to do online sex work beforehand, is because it feels to me more permanent and yeah, like having that consequence. Like when you're at the strip club, you have, you know, your stage name, you can tell as many lies as you want. They can only come find you at the club, hopefully. And then you know, you're anonymous and you never see them again, or you only see them there. So you don't have to worry about something living on permanently. Like they're not allowed to take pictures, they're not allowed to take videos.
Right.
Right.
What's your stage name?
Lucy.
Yeah.
I worked at one club that was taken. So I like panicked and said, honey. So then my stage name was Honey. So then I had all these like gross old white finance dudes calling me Honey. And it was like, sounded so condescending, but I was like, I literally asked for this. So
should have said master. I'm trying to convince my girlfriend to make a joint account with me, or just make her own, because she has a very nice butt, and I'm like, we could make so much money.
Yes.
I'm like desperate right now. I dated a guy like years ago who had a lingerie fetish. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that stuff adds up. Like, I spent a lot of money.
So you have souvenirs from that relationship?
I have a whole bag. I'm looking at it in my closet. It's just a huge sack, like a Santa Claus, just like bag of lingerie. And I've been telling myself that I'm going to make an OnlyFans account and somehow find a way to not have my face in it. And
you totally can.
Am I going to put all this lingerie to use? Because I'm so incredibly unemployed and, you know, unemployment's only going to last so long.
So true.
But yeah, I'm like, is that a thing? Is there like a presence of people there who don't show their face because
there's
of that?
Totally a lot of people who don't show their face. The biggest obstacle with that, I think, is like, so the only way to get like subscribers is by like promoting it on other platforms. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not an app and there's no real way to like discover people. You have to like be given the link, you know? So you probably have to like, if you didn't want it connected to you, you'd probably have to like create like a new, well, now you're not allowed to promote OnlyFans on Instagram. So like a new Twitter.
That. Seriously, wait, what's that about? Because our past guest, Erica Owens, who was on 90 Day Fiancé before the 90 days, and she has an OnlyFans account and then posted her most recent one was like, drop some new content over at that site that I'm not allowed to talk about. I'm like, I missed this headline. What's going on?
Yeah, well, social media hates sex workers in general. Right. They're also, do you guys know about Sesta Fosta?
Yes, but tell our listeners about it.
Let me go off real quick. It was signed into law by Mr. Donald J. Trump in 2018, I believe.
With bipartisan support.
But very bipartisan, co-sponsored by Kamala Harris.
Right.
So like now any website, if someone like says, tries to sell sex on their website, then the website itself can be held liable for it. Before that wasn't true because it's like, you know, the person's free speech, only they can be held accountable. So now websites are terrified of getting slapped with, you know, like prostitution or trafficking charges. So they don't want any sex workers promoting anything, even though it is consensual legal sex work. The wording in Sesta Fosta is pretty vague that they could crack down on it. So websites are scared of that. So I think they don't want us on there. And then there was the whole debacle with Pornhub recently. And I think sites saw like, you know, people taking their funding and pulling out from that. So they're afraid of that kind of like they're kind of like overcorrecting right now. And like I'm currently suspended from Twitter.
Twitter?
Yeah.
Twitter I thought was the most... open.
It's supposed to be. I know. I felt so burned. I was like, the night before, because the new Instagram rules went into effect and it was like, you can't show anything from a strip club. You can't show quote unquote, like erotic dancing, whatever the fuck that means.
You can show music videos though. Like,
what? Yeah. I mean, yeah. Kim Kardashian can literally post her ass and that's fine. And you can't promote like OnlyFans. So I like went through my Instagram, scrubbed it, like tried to make sure everything was good. And then the next day got kicked off Twitter. And I was like, at two Caesar? Like,
I saw that you were suspended on Twitter because I went to go look at, you know, what you've been up to. And then I'm like, what did she say?
It's because my like banner photo is a picture of me in my bra and underwear, like holding a trophy that says ultimate cunt on it. But you can't, like, it's cropped, so you can't see my boobs or my butt, and they have lingerie on them.
And did someone have to report it, or do they detect that, and it's gone?
So here's the thing. I had just tweeted, when do sluts get the vaccine, just wondering. And then it was, like, blowing up, and all these, like, guys were coming and, you know, reply guys and saying, guys, like, like, misogynistic, whorephobic shit. And I was in a bad mood, so I was like, I'm going to respond. Never a good idea. And
no.
Then I was like calling them out, and then all of a sudden I was locked out. So yeah. Someone must have reported.
That's so crazy because I have subscribed to different OnlyFans accounts, and I always thought Twitter was a part of the process. I would go to their Twitter, and they would post like previews, and I'd get an idea of what their OnlyFans was like, and I would subscribe. Like,
I know. So I thought Twitter was my girl. Now. I thought Twitter was my girl. She betrayed me. I looked at it because I was looking at the rules and I was like, how is this And it was like, you can't have quote unquote adult content in your banner photo, which is, but is not limited to nudity, partial nudity, or anything that causes human arousal. So it's like, you human literally, arousal. Like you can't, it sounds like you just like can't be a woman online. Like that's not allowed. Yeah. Like, it's like literally got suspended for being hot.
Man,
that's insane. You know, with all of these laws, though, a lot of them, it's like they're trying to solve one problem and then creating another. And Irene, do you just have the answer on what's the best way to protect people being sex trafficked while also not harming sex workers? What's the solution?
Funny you should ask. So literally all you need to do is listen to sex workers, because every time stuff like this gets passed, we have been talking about it for, not even me, I'm a baby sex worker. People have been talking about this kind of stuff for years. Sex workers, like when before SESTA FOSTA was passed, they were like, this is going to make things more dangerous. And it has, it pushes it more underground.
The Craigslist stuff was a big...
Yeah, and Backstage, because, you know, if you can't screen your clients online, then you can't screen them at all. And you're going to end in more dangerous situations because you don't know who you're dealing with. Yeah, so sex workers were like, this is going to be bad. It was, and sex workers for a long time, a lot of, you know, sex worker rights advocates and sex workers believe in full decriminalization of sex work, which is what I believe in.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Which kind of, you know, takes the law out of it, which is very beneficial for sex workers because, if you can believe it, police are not our friends and contribute to a lot of the violence and harassment and sexual assault of sex workers.
Yeah.
And yeah, if your customer also isn't afraid of being, getting into legal trouble, then they can't use that. Like, I have a lot to lose against you, if that makes sense. Like if they're like, oh, like I'm risking a lot, so you have to do this for me. Kind of deal.
Yeah. And I think that also, like, with the stuff about sex trafficking and it saying like, oh, well, it's because we want to like stop or prevent sex trafficking or kids being abused. I'm like, I don't get how these laws prevent that though, because it, like you said, when you push people underground more, it's harder to find. Like, wouldn't you rather have everybody kind of like be in the know or have like, I don't know.
Totally. So here's the thing. No one wants people to be sex trafficked. No one obviously wants child pornography to happen. But like these laws are not stopping them at all. They might even be making it worse because they're conflating consensual adult sex work with sex trafficking. And they're just like not the same thing at all. And at the end of the day, like two consenting adults should be able to engage in sex, like whether or not money is exchanged. You know what I mean? The law shouldn't have a say in that. And it, so far, when the law does try to have a say in it, they're just making it worse and making things more dangerous and more underground.
You know, I think of QAnon anytime sex trafficking is brought up.
They take these laws and they use it to criminalize consensual adult sex workers. Like that's historically what they have done. I don't know if you heard about the case recently where Robert Kraft, he like owns the Patriots or some shit.
Yes. The massage parlor.
Yeah. And they it was like, you know, they said it was like a sex trafficking sting and, you know, they had this whole investigation and now at the end of the day, Robert Kraft is walking free.
Right.
He allegedly got a hand job or something. And all the people being prosecuted and slapped with felonies and criminal charges are the sex workers, the employees of the massage parlor who are like immigrant sex workers. So you could say that like these laws aren't working the way they're supposed to, but they kind of are working the way they were secretly intended to, which is targeting vulnerable immigrant sex workers.
Yeah. Man.
But like they're often passed bipartisan because people, the last thing a politician wants is to look like they're easy on sex crimes.
Especially now with QAnon, I feel like that would put you at like a certain safety risk that people are going to think
they're only making it worse.
Satanic Democrat sex cult and then, you know, show up.
If people took the energy that they used to be obsessed with sex trafficking conspiracy theories and actually like read a fucking book about like sex work and decrim and like what sex workers actually want and need, the world would be a lot different place. Because, like, people think, you know, that sex workers are victims and that we don't know what's good for us. And, you know, we're, you know, throwing our bodies away. So how could we ever know what we need? But, you know, sex workers are the ones on the ground doing the work. They know exactly what they need. They're smart, able people. They yeah. know. They
Some
know
of the most
works.
Well-adjusted people I know. Actually.
Absolutely.
I mean, there's definitely a lot of misconceptions around sex work, and it used to be something, I mean, just in terms of feminism, that like back in the day, it was seen as something being like not feminist to be a sex worker. Mm-hmm. And from my perspective, it seems to have gotten really far away from that, and that a lot more feminists are on board and are like, yes, you know, decriminalize sex work. Sex work is work. And mm-hmm. we need to stop doing this. And would you agree that it's gotten better, at least from like allies from the feminist community?
Like, I can definitely see that. And like, I feel like I live in a bubble when I'm allowed on Twitter. I live in a very like...
right. And that's probably part of it for me too, is that mm-hmm. this is me thinking like, well, back in the day before I was like super online and you would only hear like mainstream opinions on sex work. But like now that I'm very online in my bubble, it seems right. like everyone's cool with it, man.
Like in my echo chamber of like, yeah, sex working feminists. Yeah, everyone's being really cool. But there's definitely, they're called SWERFs. It's like TERF, but sex work, exclusionary radical feminists. They definitely exist. I definitely see their hate. I get some DMs sometimes.
Seriously? I've never heard that term. And I don't doubt they exist.
They're so annoying. They're always, it's just kind of being like, you know, they're like, you should really respect yourself more, you stupid fucking slut, you know?
Yeah.
I do think people, like, it is becoming, it's almost becoming like a hot topic, sex work, you know, mm-hmm. which is good and bad, but it is, I think people are starting to open their minds to it. Like, for example, my mother.
How'd that conversation go? Let's get into it.
Yeah.
So funny. I had kept it from her for a while, and then we like got drinks when I was home, and I was like so nervous. I could like feel like my heart beating in my chest, and I was like, I have to tell you something. And I was like, I'm a stripper. And she was like, oh, okay. And then she kind of like sat with it for a little bit, and she was like, well, I'm not going to come see you perform though. I was like, yeah, oh my God. Fucking hope not, Mom. It's like, I'm scared
it's
to
like
wear a crop
coming
top
out conversation,
in front of you.
Right?
Yeah, and like, I do other sex work and stuff too that I won't get into on air, and like, I don't think I can fully tell her everything. But like now, so I work for the Oldest Profession podcast, hosted yes. by Caitlin Bailey, which is a great podcast if anyone wants to learn about kind of sex work and its history and what's going on with it today. But I do their social media. So I told my mom about that, and she was like, oh, I'll follow the account and I'll like sign up for the newsletter, which I write. And now I see my mom like commenting on all of these posts about like being a little cum slut and stuff.
Oh my God.
It's so cute. She'll like put like a laughy like emoji, and I'm like, oh, Mom.
So it's like a P flag for sex workers, like parents of sex workers.
Yeah.
Support. Love it.
Yeah. I think she is starting to open her mind to it. It's cute.
Yeah.
Yeah. We need the parents visible. And
and I think the same thing is with coming out to your parents is queer. It's like their number one concern is like your safety. Like, oh, I'm fine. I just worry about your safety. You know,
yeah.
I just hope you're safe.
It's hard for a parent, I'm sure. Like, my mom was like, she was like, I just hope you don't ever feel objectified. And I was like, that's really sweet, Mom. But, like, I feel objectified every day when I walk down the street. Like,
you might as well make some money off.
Literally, yeah. I was like, now I'm just getting paid for it instead of, like, feeling like shit on the street when someone yells something at me. I mean, that's still happening, obviously. But.
Yeah. Ideal. I feel like I'm going to have one by the end of the year. I don't know. And I'm talking about OnlyFans. I think about it every day.
Is this something
day.
For me to bully you into, Melody? Because I'll do it.
I really need the nudge.
I will absolutely support your OnlyFans journey.
Thank you. Have you ever, because you can see everyone who subscribes to your OnlyFans, right? Like you get their email address. Have you ever had anyone you know like and been like, oh, it is my old coworker? Or
you don't get their, like they can, you don't get their email address. They can pick their username, and most of my, I assume, I shouldn't like pre-gender or like sexual identity anyone, but I think they're mostly straight men because like so many of them just choose their username to be Steve and like John or Matt and like so unimaginative. Although I do have one whose his username is Boner Pilot and it makes me laugh every time.
Yeah.
But count every it. Once in a while.
He's always ready for takeoff. Yeah. Is that it?
At your service. There, every once in a while, I'll have someone, even like a comedian or someone, be like, hey, like, is it okay if I subscribe? Which I really appreciate. It's really nice. Obviously, like, I'm advertising it. Like, it's a free market, baby. Everyone's allowed, but it's nice to get that. I had like one person be like, hey, like, we went to high school together. And I was like, oh God. And then, but like, wouldn't tell me who it was.
No.
And I was like, ew. You know, like, is this like, my Spanish teacher. Friend. It's your principal, bitch.
Yeah, I was wondering. I bet comedians would sign up.
Yeah, really, really a horny crowd.
Right. Oh, yeah. Well, I like, you can also like incorporate comedy into your, I just saw today you'd posted a very funny video on your Instagram.
Thank you.
Where you're like narrating a pole dance.
Yes.
That's a tutorial. And you're like, well, first I just think about like the never ending despair or what. I don't remember everything verbatim, but I really think there's a good, like, have you ever tried to like be funny in your only, like your sex work? How does that, has that ever intersected?
I feel like all my captions are pretty funny. I try to bring a little personality to it because men are obsessed with the idea of women having personalities. They're like, oh, I've literally had so many like subs give me the like, you're not like the other girls comment.
Oh, man.
One time I like put together, it was like beginning of quarantine when we were like, you'd wake up and just start drinking.
Yeah. Well, I went crazy on the weed then.
Yeah, I was to this morning. I was like, I can tell things are bad because I'm feeling like nostalgic for the beginning of quarantine. But anyway, I used to just get like drunk during the day and make OnlyFans content. And I put together this like weird video of me like drinking wine fully before noon and like posing in my lingerie. And I thought it was the funniest fucking thing in the world. And it did not get a lot of traction.
Yeah. Sunlight. I tried them. Does it make it too real?
For them, I guess. For me, I felt great for about them. It.
Do you know of any queer or dykey sex workers that our listeners might want to be aware of?
I mean, off the top of my, so many sex workers are queer people. And Jack the Stripper is queer, isn't she?
She's married to a woman.
Mm-hmm. Cool. She's great.
She has merch.
She does. She has great merch.
I always
see
her merch. She has a great line of merch because she also draws. Jack the Stripper, she's out here illustrating, stripping, doing comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing.
Rebecca O'Neill is on OnlyFans. She's
Winter Baby.
Queer woman. Oh, yeah. I subscribe to hers. We give each other like free links.
I want to subscribe to her. I am actually going through a thing right now where like I was subscribed to someone and I tried to like, I was like, I'm done. Like they just didn't update it. And I was like, I don't want to. Keep like they just stopped. There was like a defunct account I was charged for, mm-hmm. and I tried to like get out of it, and then they wouldn't. So I disputed it, and now I can't. I'm not allowed to like. I can't subscribe to anyone.
Oh no!
They like completely blocked my name. Like,
oh my God.
Yeah. I don't know. It's impossible for me to subscribe to anyone at this point.
It's like you 180'd and like the sex worker app banned you.
Yeah. Let's talk about that.
The real victim.
Truly. I'll find my way back. But yeah.
I'm always amazed whenever anyone renews their subscription. I'm like, how many times could you want to see my pussy? But it's like, I'm so glad you do. But like, thank you for coming back. But like, it's all in this. It's in the same room. It's just like on my bed for 9 months now.
Well, you have a stripper pole. So that's, you know.
That's true. I do some stripper stuff.
You have a stripper pole in your apartment?
I do. I'm looking at it right now.
Is it like a tension pole?
Yeah. My boyfriend set it up.
I had one in my last apartment. My old roommate, gay male, so good at pole. Just like tried to teach me for like a workout fitness type of thing. But I don't have the upper body strength, but then it seems like, but I work out and I feel like I'm strong. And then I see other people do it. So I just feel like there's a hack to it that I maybe.
It's truly just doing it over and over again. I was so bad when I first started. And I didn't have, I learned at the club, which is in hindsight humiliating. Like, I think I thought
learning
I was like
an audience.
I think I thought I was like fucking killing it. And I'm like, if I ever had footage of what I was doing, I would kill myself. Like, it must have been so bad.
Again, very similar to comedy.
I know. I'm saying like killing it. Is there a bomb equivalent? Like, have you ever felt like you bombed?
Yeah, have you bombed?
Well, so absolutely. One time I've had like my shoe fall off and like stuff like that, but New York is like not a stage centric place. Like Atlanta is like a very stage centric, like
more
most
room.
Yeah. New York is like, you know, private rooms, lap dances. So sometimes you'll be on stage and people are like sitting at the stage and literally like on their phones or like just watching and not tipping. And it's a real deep in your stomach pit to be like naked crawling around on a ground and swinging around a pole and just getting nothing.
Man.
I've really just walked off stage once.
Just mid.
Yeah. I was like, I'm done. The DJ was like, what are you doing? I was like, I'm going to the bar. One time my acrylic nail snapped off on stage and I was so drunk that I just kicked it into the crowd. One time recently-ish, there was like this janky pole at this place I was working and I was spinning around upside down and my hair got caught like in the bottom of the pole.
Oh,
and
no.
I was twirling. So it like, you know, when that happens and then I was like, I don't know. So I like dismounted. So like somersaulted onto the ground, but I'm still stuck to the pole, like in the fetal position. And I was like, I have to just rip it out. So I just ripped it out.
Oh my God.
And now I have like an undercut under here.
Oh my God.
And I was like, what do I do with this? So I like threw it into my cash bucket. Like they give you a bucket to throw all your cash in. And then someone pulled me off the stage because they like wanted a lap dance and like to talk to me. So then I like just was walking around with a bucket with my hair and money in it. And then my manager walked by and I was like, can you come here real quick? And I was like, can you take this? And he was like, what is it? And I was like, it's my hair. Thank you.
Oh my God. I want to tip you right now for that. Wow.
For any listeners who want to tip me, my Venmo is Irene-Mero.
Yes. Yes. Please tip Irene.
So in terms of doing sex work, I want to know, like, what are your boundaries? Where do you draw the line? And has that changed since you started?
Yes. Boundaries. I feel like sex work has taught me a lot about boundaries, which I think is surprising to people. People think that, you know, it's a lot of doing stuff you don't want to do or feeling like you're desperate, so you have to do things. And that happens, I think, to women in any circumstance in life where you find yourself maybe doing something you're not comfortable with or whatever. But I feel like sex work has taught me to take a bigger stance on that and be more like honest with myself of what I'm comfortable with, what I'm not. And something really valuable that sex work has taught me is that like my boundaries are fluid. So like some nights I am comfortable with this, that, and the third. And other nights I'm like, I'm actually not going to do that tonight because I don't feel like it. And that's okay. Like you don't have to be like the kind of girl who does this, the kind of girl who doesn't do that. You can keep your boundaries the same, but I find that mine fluctuate and like being okay with that is really valuable.
I love that. And I've never thought about that. Yeah. How often do you see couples? This is again for me. Is that prevalent?
Couples?
Yeah.
So many couples do OnlyFans and it's like honestly great because the most money I ever make is with making content with someone else. And it's hard
to like collaborating.
Yeah. So if you have that like organically in your brand already, fantastic.
Yes.
Is there any legislation or advocacy groups that we should be aware of to help protect sex workers?
Well, I mean, like I said, I work for the Oldest Profession podcast, so you should definitely go follow Old Pro podcasts.
I started listening today.
Yay! Yeah. I make sure to try to give a lot of resources there. And if you sign up for the newsletter, you'll get resources about all that stuff from yours truly. A lot of stuff is going through like legislation right now. There was just CCEA, which was going to be really, really bad for sex workers. It got, it died, but it might, you know, come back. Please contact your representatives and tell them to repeal SESTA-FOSTA. Oh, the Earn It Act is another one. It's basically like SESTA-FOSTA on steroids, like even worse. But it died, I believe it died in the House. But again, these things can easily come back. So
yeah,
just keep them on your radar. And when they do, you know, get introduced, just contact your representatives and be like, no. I find that it's best to like not even bring sex work into it when I call and be like, this is like, you know, unconstitutional and a violation of my freedom of speech, because I feel like that is more appealing to legislators.
Right. Because this is one progressive issue that doesn't seem to have progressive Congress people behind it.
Representative Ro Khanna is introducing a bill to just do a study on SESTA-FOSTA to show that like it's not effective and it's actually harmful. Because they haven't even done a case study on it. And I think Elizabeth Warren is either co-sponsoring it or like supporting it. So keep an eye on that and be supportive of that.
Yeah. I mean, with sex work being the oldest profession, you would think that there's data out there based on laws in other countries that we can see people who have done it, you know, well.
Yeah.
like in the Netherlands, you know.
Yeah, Netherlands, it's legal. New Zealand, it's decriminalized and it's going fucking great.
There are countries who are doing it and that have figured out a way without it becoming like a hub for sex trafficking. Like,
yeah, you don't really need sex trafficking if there's like, you know, legit sex work happening. You know what I mean?
right. And the sex trafficking statistics are definitely like exaggerated and blown out of proportion. I'm in no way saying that it's not a problem. Obviously, like, very against people being forced into doing anything that they totally did not sign up for, obviously. Mm-hmm. But I did hear, and I forget what podcast it was on. It might have been even an NPR podcast of somebody who had studied the issue at large and found that it was like the numbers and the data were like highly exaggerated, and the most cited statistics about the prevalence of sex trafficking actually lumped in so much consensual sex work. And they 100%. Don't take sex workers' word for the fact that they're doing it consensually.
They like sit them in an interrogation room for hours until they quote unquote admit that it's trafficking, when they're like, no, it's not. So yeah, a lot of the stats that you're reading are actually not trafficking. And again, I try not to get myself in trouble with it. It was like, yes, trafficking, any amount of trafficking is horrible, should not happen.
Yeah.
But I do think it's used as like fear mongering and conspiracy.
Well, it's just being weaponized right now, blatant, like with QAnon. There's a sex worker. Wait, do you know Sovereign Sire? Is that her name?
Sounds familiar.
She also does comedy. She's a sex worker and writer, and has done some writing about like specifically how QAnon is making this so much worse for sex workers right now.
Yeah, and like the whole like trafficking thing. Like, I don't like definitely look all the stuff up. I don't take my word for it, but like historically, it does come from like racism and like trying to create this theory in America that like men of color are gonna like steal the white women and like traffic them and like white slavery and all this stuff, which is like not true. Like, usually it's not like the movie Taken. It's like someone's gonna take your white daughter, and like mostly people being like quote unquote trafficked or actually trafficked are people who are like in desperate bad situations who are not, you know, privileged white women.
Yeah, I mean, I know there were a lot of people, a lot of conservatives who were really defending the child separation policy at the border, being like, well, a lot of these kids are being sex trafficked. I'm like, no, they're
so lock them up.
Kids coming with their families.
Being sexually abused in these camps.
Actually. I also love that, like,
ICE.
By ICE. Cool.
Exactly. I also love that they're like, they're being sex trafficked, so put them in a cage.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
That'll help.
I have done comedy in a cage at a strip club once, actually. There was a show.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it was a gay bar. Actually, it was not a strip club, but
tomato, tomato.
Right. So many cages and poles at gay bars.
Yeah. It's hard to distinguish sometimes.
It's just like, I don't know. I feel like we're not, Instagram's not going after a lot. It's like the gay men are posting porn. It is, that is all gay Twitter and gay Instagram. It is porn, and that gets to fly.
Yeah, a lot of celebrities post a lot of stuff that's like against Instagram rules. I get a lot of my stuff on Instagram taken down a lot. That, like, one time I like asked for an appeal, and they were like, "Oh yeah, our bad. Like, this is not nudity." And I was like, "Yeah, I know." I've definitely been flagged.
Back when the whole release the nipple or no, free the nipple, release the nipple.
Release? Jesus. Launch the nipple.
Dork. Like, it's a cut scene. Back when a lot of the free the nipple stuff was happening, the one thing that people noticed was that if you're non-binary, then you could have your nipples on Instagram.
I've also seen like a lot of trans women be able to have their nipples, which is great, but it's almost like Instagram being transphobic by not taking it down.
Yeah. That's
right. A weird kind of whiplash.
Yeah. So it's basically only cis women who can't have their nipples out.
I had something taken down. Well, I have like a sex work Instagram separate from my like comedy one. And it has been flagged or something, because I will literally post something, and before I can even go to like tap into something else, it's like, this has been taken down. Like,
oh, really?
Immediately. Yeah. So
that's wild.
They're spying on me.
Do you have any advice for any listeners/Melody who are interested in doing sex work?
I really want to make an OnlyFans if they will ever allow me on the platform after that.
My biggest advice, it's so fun. It's really is like basically what you would tell any new comedian, is that like your chances are it's going to be like really hard at first. There's going to be times where you leave crying and like feel like shit, but like it's all, you get better, you learn. It can be very rewarding. It can be exhausting. Yeah, it's like the same thing I tell people who want to get into comedy. Like, you do have to have thick skin, and it's going to be hard. And it's okay if it's not for you.
Anything else that you want to say about sex work as we wrap up?
You know, do your reading. If you are someone who hasn't kind of thought about, you know, decriminalizing sex work, you look into that, see the benefits of it. Tip your sex workers, subscribe to their OnlyFans when the clubs are open, go throw money on them, donate to mutual aid, and yeah, jerk off, have a good time.
Awesome. Well, where can people find you on OnlyFans, Instagram, plug all the social media?
OnlyFans is onlyfans.com/LucyStar with two R's.
Wait, no, are we going to get in Jeffrey. Trouble for you promoting your OnlyFans on our podcast?
No.
No, right?
I hope not. You can take it out if you want. Instagram, I have my public one is _IreneMarrow. My sex work one is too inappropriate for daddy. I created it years ago before I was a sex worker because my dad follows my public account and I didn't want him to see like my sexy photos, my thirst traps.
For sure.
And if Twitter ever allows me back on, it's slut_inc. Can you believe they tracked me down?
Comedian sex workers are the best sex workers. Please support Irene.
Thank you.
Yes, I really love the overlap of the sex work community and the comedian community. It wasn't something that I expected when I was doing comedy, but I was like, this is wonderful. And it makes so much sense.
We need money and we love attention.
Absolutely.
Well, Irene, thank you so much for diking out with us. This was
Thanks,
a lot of fun.
Irene.
Thank you. So fun.
All right, it's time for our listener question. Let's wrap this up.
All right. I am currently pursuing someone who has never been with a woman before. I've never been the more experienced partner before, and I'm scared as shit. I know what I'm doing, but I'm just kind of freaked out because I don't want to screw her up with liking woman if I mess up or something. I don't know. Any tips? But is it like also ... bad if I dip out because of not wanting to take her lesbian virginity?
What is wrong with you people?
Yeah, I know.
We get so many emails from the other side. I'm like, I don't think that's a real thing. I don't think you need to be worried that you don't have experience before. People don't care. And this person's like, I care and I might dip out because of it. I'm like, no, now we're going to get 10 more of the other ones.
From the other side. It is not a big deal. It is a non-issue, right?
You are putting so much pressure on yourself, which is queer culture, and I appreciate it, mm-hmm. but you don't need to do that, all right? Like, my first experience with a woman, it was fine, all right? It wasn't anything to make a GeoCities website about. It was okay.
Dating yourself.
And and that didn't make me not want to be with women again. I mean, even it just being okay was like greater than anything I've ever experienced.
Right.
So don't worry about it. Like,
also, we're in a pandemic. We should just be like grateful that we have that opportunity.
Right.
If you're, you know, single and out there, it seems like you have to put a lot more work in if you're going to have to move on to try and find someone else and quarantine and get tested. Plan all these dates and work up to that point again. You have a sexual partner ready and willing and able, and do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't dip out. I mean, I guess it's not bad per se. Do whatever you want. You know, you're in charge of your own life, but I think you're being silly.
Truly, no one cares.
Yeah. Yeah.
On either sides. People are so excited to just have someone naked with them.
Yes.
I mean,
right?
And I used to think this way too when I was on the other side.
Yeah.
And this is a reminder to people on the other side. No one cares.
It's just something like these questions, every time we get them, they like blow my mind because I've just never thought like that.
Yeah.
I've never been like, oh no, like what if I, or what if they, or I'm just like, hey, let's get sexy. Like,
yeah, what's the drawback to taking someone's lesbian virginity? We can discuss that. They'll get attached. Is that it?
I don't know what the drawback would be other than if you're afraid that they're going to be like super clingy or something, but it sounds like your worry is that this person might have like crazy expectations of what this is going to be and that you're not going to be able to meet them, but don't worry about that.
Yeah, that is
they're
the
gonna
issue.
Love it.
I've never been the more experienced partner and I'm scared as shit. Think of how this person feels.
Yeah, this person is probably equally anxious based on, again, our many listener emails about this. So
this person has emailed us, actually.
Yeah. That's going to be next week's question is from this person you're talking about. Great.
That. So the answer, any tips, just do it. Is it bad if you dip out? Yes.
Great. Well, if you have any questions, that was a great example of a short question to submit. So
yeah, thank you.
Yes, we appreciate that. We might have bumped you up the list because of that. And send your questions to dykingout@gmail.com. Or if you have a more specific kind of question, you can go to Jemmy and we'll send you a personalized video answer. That's jemi.app/dykingout. And speaking of dyking out, you should follow us on social media. We are on Twitter. We're on Facebook. We don't post as much on Facebook because we're more active in our Patreon group there. Mm-hmm. But on Twitter, we're posting some content there that's different than what we post on Instagram. So just follow us all around.
Yeah.
So for a well-rounded dyking out experience. And you can follow me at TGI Carolyn. Maybe I'll post a picture of the beaver.
Oh,
actually,
do that.
Yeah, Cecilia posted a picture of the beaver to her story. So for more beaver content, at TGI Carolyn or at Ceci Bergier, CECIBERGIER.
If you want more figurative beaver content, you can follow me at Melody Kamali on everything.
Yeah, Melody, your Instagram stories have been cracking me up lately. They always crack me up, but they're just very funny. It's
okay.
A good follow.
Thank you. Yeah, I need to remember to post to the grid. I truly put all my efforts in something that expires within hours, which is just great. Okay, tell them when they can see us again.
You can see us next Tuesday.
See you next Tuesday.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Get inspired while learning all about the unique planes of existence. Get the in-depth knowledge you need to help your combat encounters feel impactful, or learn about the origins and pantheons of every race and class the game offers. No stone is left unturned as every edition of the game is explored and explained in a way that benefits players of all different levels of experience. You can expand your TTRPG horizons in a way that's as entertaining as it is educational just by listening. All you have to do is go to your favorite podcast app or YouTube and search for The Dungeon Cast.